Acts 16, 1 through 3. The title for the sermon this morning is New Missionaries. New Missionaries. And we're going to be looking at Acts 16, 1 through 3, how Paul goes and gets Timothy as a new missionary. So follow along with me. We're just going to read the first three verses. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. We'll stop there. This text here in Acts 16, 1 through 3, it's about Paul coming and taking on a new missionary. And this is going to be the topic of the sermon this morning. Not much is said in local churches about the issue of new missionaries doing pioneer gospel work. Why? I want to suggest two reasons this morning. First, most people consider missions, modern missions, to be in the areas of medical work or support work or education or construction, etc., and not as evangelizing the world through preaching the gospel, the way the New Testament portrays it. So I think that's one main reason why new missionaries and the taking on of new missionaries is not talked much about in local churches. And the second reason is this. Local churches do not see the issue of new missionaries as relating to their realm and responsibility. From my experience, the majority of local churches in America consider the issue of new missionaries as relating only to schools. This is a problem. Because in the Bible, specifically in the New Testament, the issue of world evangelization and new missionaries doing that work is in the realm and responsibility of Jesus' local churches. So those are two reasons I suggest this morning why new missionaries going out to do gospel work around the world to all the peoples of the world is not talked much in local churches. The mission of all of God's local churches is missions. You may have heard that phrase before. Evangelizing the world through preaching the gospel. That's what missions is. And that's the mission of all of God's churches. Not just one, not just some, but all of them. Whether they're here in Maryland or around America or around North America or around the world. All of God's churches collectively have the mission to advance the gospel to the globe and to all the peoples of this world. So your mission as one of Jesus' churches is to directly participate in advancing the gospel message to areas in the world where the gospel has still not yet been announced. So how does a local church do this in our generation? That's a question we need to think of and answer. This is where the issue of new missionaries is vitally relevant for today. We can't think of our past generations and we can't think of the great work that many missionaries have done in the past. And the father of modern missions like William Carey and many others. But what about our generation? Now, a lot of work is being done around the world under the name of missions. I talked a little bit about that this morning in the Sunday school. But as we read the New Testament and we consider God's Word and what missions is all about, missions is about advancing the gospel to the corners of this globe and preaching the gospel to all the peoples of this world. Now I'm confident that the gospel is the foundation of your church. Now I want to challenge you this morning that as the gospel is the foundation of this church and the salvation of your souls, that you would take a big step in this area of new missionaries. We're going to ask and answer six questions this morning from this text. And the first is this: should new missionaries be taken on? That's the first and obvious question. And the simple, direct answer is yes. Now, I'm sure if I asked everyone here, and probably most Christians in America, should new missionaries go out, everyone's going to say yes. But let that sink in. Should new missionaries be taken on? Yes. So how should we, how should you directly participate in that? You don't have to turn there, but we see in Luke chapter 10, Jesus took on and sent out new missionaries or evangelists. In Luke 10, 1 through 2, and I'll read that. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So we see here an example of Jesus sending out missionaries or sending out evangelists, men to preach the gospel. And he says specifically as well in this context to pray for new missionaries to be sent out, or evangelists, or gospel preachers, whatever term you want to use. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So should new missionaries be taken on? Yes. When Jesus was towards the end of his ministry, he said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Jesus was a missionary. The Father sent him to do a work, to accomplish a task, to proclaim the gospel, ultimately to die on the cross to save his people from their sin. And if that message means something to you, which I'm sure it does here, then consider this question and this topic of new missionaries and should they be sent out. We see new missionaries being taken on throughout the book of Acts. We don't just see Paul, right? It starts with Paul and Barnabas, and then we see men like John Mark and Silas, and here Timothy. New men continue to be taken on to do the work of missions and advancing the gospel around the world. It's a theme in the New Testament. We don't say, okay, Paul is the first missionary and then it stops after him and there's no other missionary sent out after that. That's not the case. We see Jesus doing it. We see through the book of Acts new missionaries being taken on. There should be no debate. New missionaries should be taken on in our generation, and we must continue that work now in our day. So that's the first question. Should new missionaries be taken on? We see from our text and we see throughout the New Testament, the answer is yes. So I want that to sink in here at your church. Consider together. Pray about it individually. Pray about it as a church. If new missionaries should be taken on and sent out, what can you do? The second question here in our text, who takes on new missionaries? It's here in verses 1 through 3 of Acts 16. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy. And right at the end here, Paul wanted him to accompany him. So who's the ones who take on the new missionaries? And we see here the current missionaries. Paul is a current missionary, takes on a new missionary. And he takes on Timothy to do this work with him. Current missionaries see the gospel and evangelistic need the most because they're on the front lines like Paul. Not to say that all Christians don't, but we could probably fairly say that the ones on the front lines, just like men in war, they see the need the most. One of the practical reasons I'm in New Guinea is because I was there as a high schooler with my parents, and the Lord used that to burden me. I saw the need. I saw that there are places on planet Earth where the gospel has never gone. Maybe some of you have seen that. Probably most of you haven't. But Paul, as a current missionary, sees the need for the world to be evangelized, sees the need for the gospel to go to new places, probably more than anyone else. And because of that, he can take on a new missionary and recruit a new missionary like Timothy. And also, current missionaries are already on the ground. And so more than anyone else, they could get a new missionary up and running, just like Paul did with Timothy. How do you get a new missionary up and running? How do you get a new missionary to the field? How do you get a new missionary on the ground in a place like Mocha to do the work? Practically, it's through an existing missionary. My parents are there, other missionaries are there in New Guinea. Practically, that's what helped us get there. You know, we've talked to a lot of other people, some people who've expressed interest in missions. You know, we'd like to do that, but it's so difficult. How do you get there? How do you do it? We see here with Paul, already on the ground, he could help Timothy get into the work more easily. If Timothy was thinking, you know, I want to do evangelistic missions work, I want to preach the gospel to a new area, how do I do that? Where do I go? Who do I go with? And then Paul shows up. So that's our second question. Who should take on the new missionaries? And we see here from the context of Acts 16, the current missionaries. Question 3. From where are new missionaries taken on? What do we see here in our text of Acts 16, 1 through 3? It's the local church, right? Paul doesn't go to a school. He doesn't go to an institution or an organization, but he goes to the local church. That's part of his own missions work. And he continues to go to local churches to give reports, to preach, and things like that. And that's where he takes on a new missionary. That's very important in our day and age. Why? Because most of the time, new missionaries are not taken from the local church. A guy like me or someone else might go to the school or to the seminary or to the mission training school. Okay, let's go there to take on a new missionary. That's not necessarily wrong. But what do we see here in Acts chapter 16? New missionaries are taken on from within the local churches. Where should pastors come from? Within the local churches, right? We see that in the New Testament as well. Where do people in the ministry come from? From the local churches, right? What is the biblical New Testament model that we see in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament? Missionaries come from the local church. They're recognized from the local church. They're taken on from the local church. They're sent out from the local church. Seminaries and Bible schools, missionary training schools, those things exist. But they are not the biblical model from where new missionaries come from. And I know that's probably a drastic statement, and maybe some of you disagree with that. Because that is not what is being said in our day and age. We need to send new missionaries out, so let's send someone to school, or let's go get them at the missionary training school. But that's not what we see here. Paul goes to the church, he's ministering there in the church, he's preaching in the church, and he takes on a new missionary from the church. The missionaries and evangelists of the New Testament, guys like Barnabas and Silas and John Mark, they came from the local church. And there's an application for us there in our day and age, in our generation, that missionaries need to come from the local church as well. Question 4. What kind of new missionaries are taken on? Look at our text here. Timothy comes on the scene. And it said that he was well spoken of by the brothers. Timothy had a good testimony in his church. He was well spoken of by his local church where he went. And they pushed him forward, or Paul asked. We're not sure here from the context. Did Paul go to the church leaders or make an announcement to the church? You know, who's your best guy? They say, oh, Timothy. Or, you know, how did that happen? But what we see clearly is Timothy had a good testimony. He was well spoken of. So the question here, question 4, what kind of new missionaries are taken on? The best recommended men or couples. Paul takes on Timothy as a new missionary because he's well spoken of by the brethren. If Timothy didn't have a good testimony, Paul wouldn't have taken him on as a new missionary. If Timothy wasn't serving in the church and already doing probably evangelistic work, preaching in the church, things like that, Paul wouldn't have taken him on. To a certain degree, and probably to a large degree, Timothy was qualified to do missions or pioneer evangelism, whatever term you want to use, because he was well spoken of by the people of the church. And I mentioned couples too because of the example of Priscilla and Aquila. Right, we see a great example in the New Testament as well of a godly couple doing evangelistic work, doing missions work, Priscilla and Aquila, helping Paul, co-workers with Paul. But not anybody should be sent out. They didn't just say, you know what, yeah, who's just a random guy, okay, you go. You know, Timothy was well spoken of. He had a good example and testimony within the church, and because of that, Paul took him, or the church recommended him, or they both worked together to do that, so that Timothy would become a new missionary. Listen to this, and this is my experience, and you could probably relate to this. Often, it seems that the leftovers are sent to the mission field. The best men and the best couples are kept back, and the ones who can't make it, they go to the mission field. I've seen that firsthand. In different places around the world, specifically New Guinea, you're not the best at ministry back home, so you know, let's just send you off to the mission field. Or I couldn't make it as a preacher in the States, so you know, I guess I'll just go to the mission field. This is backwards. As one of the best, possibly the best, Timothy didn't stay. But he was taken on as a new missionary. That's a very important statement. That's what we see here in the New Testament. We see it throughout the book of Acts. The best men were sent. The ones with the best testimonies, the ones serving, the ones preaching, not the leftovers. Not, well, you know, he's not the best, so, you know, let's send him overseas. You know, it's difficult enough to be in a ministry, let alone be in a ministry in a foreign place. And we see here Timothy as one of the best men of the church sent out as a new missionary, taken on by Paul as a new missionary. The missionaries and evangelists of the New Testament, men like Philip and Epaphras and Titus and Apollos, there's many examples, Priscilla and Aquila, they were from the best of the churches. Question 5. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Now, we don't see it directly here in this text, but we certainly see it in the context and in the book of Acts. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Preach the gospel. Now, again, in our day and age, not necessarily in the Reformed churches, but think of the evangelical church throughout the country. Most of what's done under the name of missions is not what we see in the New Testament. It's not preaching the gospel. It's going out and maybe starting a school or doing a VBS or painting a church or doing dentistry work. Those things aren't wrong. But again, what's missions? What are the missionaries of the New Testament, the evangelists, the pioneer workers sent out to do? Very clearly, and there's example after example after example, they're sent out to proclaim the gospel. Jesus made that abundantly clear to his disciples to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to all the places of the world, to declare a message. There's only one message that's worthy to be proclaimed and announced and declared, and that's the message of Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. That's the work we're called to do. Not dentistry work, though fixing teeth is great. Not VBS, and there's countless examples. And again, not that those things are necessarily wrong, but what has Christ called his church to do? He's called his church to proclaim a message to the world. That there is one who has died on the cross to save his people. There's one who's died as a substitute to save his people. The people here in Maryland and throughout America and in this generation, in the previous generation, and then the next generation, the people in China, in India, in Africa, in South America, and the people in New Guinea. And Christ has died for his people in Mocha and in the villages where we're going to. And he sent his church to proclaim the message of the gospel, because it's the message of the gospel that saves a sinner. There's nothing else. As we proclaim the good news of the death and the resurrection of Christ, it is through that message and faith in that message that God saves his people and builds his church. He doesn't just zap people over in Mocha and say, okay, boom, you're a Christian now, and Caleb, you don't have to go. God doesn't do that. That's not missions. That's not how missions is carried out. It's carried out as men and women go and proclaim the message of the gospel. as this message is announced as the best message this world has ever heard. I mean, what other message is worthy to be declared when you really think about it? You know, we talk a lot about politics, who the president is, who the next president is. We talk a lot about the economy and the stock market and jobs and unemployment. We talk a lot about education. You know, there's topic after topic. There's plenty of messages and causes on Facebook and the internet. But what's the one message that must be announced, that must be declared? And what's the message that Jesus has told us to proclaim? It's His gospel. And that's the work that new missionaries are taken on to do. Preach the gospel. So if a man can't preach the gospel, he shouldn't be sent out to preach the gospel. If a man can preach the gospel, consider sending him to preach the gospel in places where the gospel has never been proclaimed. Paul took Timothy on as a new missionary to accompany him in the preaching of the gospel. Now we see men like Luke doing other things as well. Luke was like the journalist, you know, and he helped in other ways. And we see support workers. But what's the focus? It's men sent out to proclaim this gospel. And that's exactly why Paul wanted Timothy to come and help him in the proclaiming of the gospel. In the New Testament, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word and to do the work of an evangelist. And Paul refers to Timothy as a co-worker doing the same work. So it's very clear Timothy was a missionary, if we can use that word, doing this work of proclaiming the gospel. It's clear from the book of Acts and the missions theme of the New Testament that missionaries were taken on to preach the gospel. You know, sadly in our day and age, and again, I've seen this firsthand around the world, specifically in missionary, because we walk in the sphere of missionaries and missions work as a missionary. And most of what is done around the world in the name of missions is not preaching the gospel. And that is not good when Christ has told us to do that work. We can do good works. We should do good works as Christians. That's one of the things that marks us off as God's people. But when it comes to the mission of the church and evangelizing the world, to all the peoples of the world, to all the places of the world, to all the languages of the world, we do it through the preaching of the gospel. Not by going to start a kid's school or a clinic. I hope that sinks in. I hope you think about that. And let the New Testament and the book of Acts point us in that direction. Beginning with John the Baptist and then to Jesus and all the disciples, the apostles and evangelists, they had one primary mission: to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. That was their mission. When you look at John the Baptist, what was his mission? What was he doing? He was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and preaching repentance. Jesus comes on the scene. Now, he was sent primarily as the sacrifice for sinners to die and to be raised from the dead. But what do we see in his ministry? He was a man on a mission to preach and to proclaim this gospel. And he kept saying, listen, we got to get to the next villages. They need to hear the gospel as well. We see him as the preacher. And then all of the other apostles and disciples, that was their one primary mission. And we need to have the same. Our mission should be to send men and couples to proclaim this gospel, to preach the message of Christ so that people would hear it. How are they going to hear unless someone's sent? And people can't hear unless someone's there preaching. You know, God, we hear at times God sends dreams and visions. You know, those things might be real sometimes, but that certainly is not the norm. What do we see in the New Testament? God sends his message through his preachers. So how's the message going to get to these remote places in India that haven't been evangelized yet? Or some of the remote villages in China up on the mountains? It's going to be through a church like yours sending a man or a couple to do the work of preaching the gospel. That's how it's done. God's word directs God's people to do good works. Obviously, we all agree with that. Helping the poor, feeding the hungry, providing medical attention, those are good things that we should be doing as believers. But the mission of Jesus' church is to announce the gospel to the world. And so new missionaries must be taken on to do this. Question number 6. Why should new missionaries be taken on? Now, I could give dozens of reasons. I'm just going to give a few right here. Because Jesus our Lord has told his disciples to preach the gospel throughout the entire world. To me, that was enough. A lot of people ask, you know, why are you in missions and why did you go to New Guinea and why are you doing what you're doing? You know, it's so hard, and they go on. You know, why did you do it? The main reason I tell people is because Jesus said to. I mean, we don't need another reason beyond that. Now, he's given us more, but that's enough. Why should your church directly participate in missions and consider sending one of your best couples to preach the gospel where it's never been preached? Why? Because Jesus has said so. He's told us to do it. He hasn't just said, be a church right here and worship on Sundays and that's good enough. He hasn't only said that. He hasn't only said, evangelize your community and have a good testimony among the unbelievers around you here in Maryland. He hasn't only said that. He's also commanded you as a church and all of his churches to directly participate in the work of missions by preaching the gospel where it hasn't been preached. So his command should be enough. It was for me. And I know that you believe that. That's why I said in the introduction, I want to challenge you to take a big step. You know, in America, it's easy to be a Christian. I mean, it's easy to be a human in America. You know, life is easy here. There's many places in the world where life is difficult, but, you know, forget all of that. There's places where the gospel hasn't been preached. Just put yourself in their shoes for a minute. What if 50 years ago you were born into the village of Mocha, where we are? You would have no hope. There wouldn't be any chance. You would have never heard the gospel. And one of the pictures you might have remembered, the oldest guy there, his name is Samoa. He's in his 60s probably, the oldest guy there. They don't live long. He's never heard the gospel. I've tried to communicate the gospel to him a little bit. He doesn't know the national language too well. What about his dad? And his grandfather? Or his sister? What about the people down in the other village? And what about the people in a remote village in China 100 years ago? Or some desert place in India. And I want to challenge you to think of these people in the world where the gospel hasn't gone. And it's your responsibility not to evangelize the world. You know, you can't do that and I can't do that. But to directly participate in a way that you can. Could your church send a couple to an unreached people group? To an area where the gospel hasn't been preached? To a language group that hasn't yet been evangelized. Could your church do that? Yeah. It might not be easy. It might not be comfortable. But you could. And I want to challenge you to consider that and to pray about that as you read the scriptures, as you pray as a local church. Now, we need help in Mocha too, and we're praying that a couple would join us. Maybe a couple from your church would join us. But it's not about Mocha. It's about evangelizing the world and all the places where the gospel hasn't gone. When we think of missions and the topic I'm preaching on this morning, there's no need to go plant a church in Baltimore or Boston or really anywhere in America. Maybe there's some remote places where there's no churches. You know, there might be some exceptions. But when we think of evangelizing the world, and that's our mission, where has the gospel not yet gone? We're going to send someone there. Where's the place that no one has gone yet? We're going to send a couple there. That's why we went to Mocha. Nobody's gone there yet. Yeah, it's tough to get there, but no one's gone there because it's tough. So most likely the place that you might go a new missionary might go to preach the gospel, it's going to be difficult. All the easy places have been taken. You know, I mean, if there's no churches in Boston, like, there we go. That's easy. But those have been taken. So you got to go to the tough places. And that's just the bottom line. If your mission is the same as Christ's, to save his people from the world, to make a new creation, to build his kingdom, to fulfill his church, not just in this area, not just in America, not just in Israel, but to all the places. If that's his mission, it needs to be your mission. If that's his desire, that needs to be your desire. Now, that's not the only compartment or department of the Christian life. That's the topic of the sermon this morning. And that needs to be a focus of your life as well. So why should new missionaries be taken on? One primary reason is Jesus has told us to do it. Matthew 24:14, one of my favorite missions verses as well. This gospel must be preached throughout the entire world. And then the end will come. I mean, don't we want that? Don't we want God's kingdom to be fulfilled? His church to be built completely? All of his people to be saved? We do desire that as Christians, right? But it's not going to happen with us just evangelizing Maryland over and over and over again, or America, or New York City. It's by us getting the gospel to all the places of this world, all the peoples, all the language groups. And I use those phrases because that's what I see in the New Testament. God doesn't say every country. He says every people. He doesn't say every nation, he says every language. And depending who you talk to or which website you go to, there are thousands upon thousands of people groups and language groups in the world. Now, when we think of the world as a whole, like, oh yeah, the gospel is actually spread, you know, around the globe, it's gone to most places, and to some degree that's true, depending on your perspective, but there are still many language groups and people groups where the gospel hasn't gone. And your mission, as it is the mission of Christ, should be, we're going to pray to that end and we're going to move to that end so that the gospel would be preached there. Another reason, because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Just as Jesus said, right? I read that earlier from Luke. Jesus recognized the problem. There's a lot of work to be done for the kingdom, but most people aren't doing it. I want to challenge you as a church, individually, families, corporately as a church, to think about what Jesus said there. There's a lot of work to be done, but there's few who are doing it. And that could go for your community right here, but again, that's not the topic of the sermon this morning. Think of the world at large where the gospel isn't being preached. You know, we take it for granted we could come to church, we could read a Bible. I mean, I went to the bookstore the other day, and it's almost embarrassing for us as Americans. There's 100 different kinds of Bibles. Not that's bad, necessarily. You know, if a company just wants to put out a new Bible to make more money, that's probably not the best reason. There's places where there's no Bible. You could pick whichever translation you want in your color, with your name on it, with a special custom cover to it. I mean, you could get whatever you want. And there is a lot of blessing to that. But think of the places that have none. And that could have been you. We read in the book of Acts, God has determined where we're born. And he's shown mercy to all of us in this room by allowing us to be born in America. Assuming we're all born in America, at least we're here today in Maryland. That's God's mercy, that we could be in a place where the gospel is preached. As your elders preach the gospel to you, the most amazing privilege that a human could ever have, to hear the good news of Christ, that he died to save you. You don't have to go to hell. There's one who died to save you from your sin and to save you from the wrath of God. There's one who'd never sinned so that he could give you his perfect righteousness. The message of the gospel is the most beautiful message, and you have it. You've heard it. And if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, you need to believe it today. You need to come to Christ today. But think of those people who haven't heard this. And think of how few are going. Again, that's why it took until 2018 for someone to go to Mocha to preach the gospel. Think of that, 2018 years for someone to get to that village. That's how long it took. God sent us there to do that work. Maybe He'll send a man here, a couple here, to go to an unreached place, an unevangelized place, maybe in China. You know, China's been reached when you think of the country, but there's peoples there who haven't. India has 2,600 people groups. 2,600. They all need to be evangelized. The gospel has to be preached to all those people, not just the major cities. And there's not many people doing it. Jesus saw that problem, and that's why He said, pray that He would send out laborers. So I want to challenge you as a church, specifically pray for this. And as you do, maybe the Lord will send a couple from your church. And just a practical point, why should new missionaries be taken on so that more work could be accomplished for the kingdom? The more missionaries, the more work could be done. And I'm thinking of Mocha. We're praying that the Lord would send a couple to help us do the work at Mocha. It's just us. We're in a group of a few thousand people probably. It's just us. You know, so we can only do so much. We can only reach so many villages and so many people, and I can only preach so many times. If there's another couple, you could double it. If there's a third couple, you could triple it. If there's a fourth couple, okay. Now we get the point, right? The more workers, the more work could be done. We see that here in America, the way America has been raised up to be a good nation. People working, getting the job done. You know, why certain places in the world haven't advanced and are still third world, I won't mention any names, but it's because people aren't working. You know, take that to the kingdom level. Have a kingdom perspective. The more workers, the more work could be done for the kingdom. And really, that's why we're here, to do work for the kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean all of you are going. Here in Acts 16, one man went. Priscilla and Aquila went. Most Christians don't go as new missionaries. Most couples aren't taken on as new missionaries. But maybe you could send one. So why? So that more work can be accomplished for the kingdom. And then one final point under that is to continue the advance of the gospel in our generation and into the next, until all the places and peoples of the world are evangelized and Jesus returns. You know, we want to see Christ return, right? We want to see Him come. We want to see Him usher in the final kingdom. We want to see the new creation. He's going to separate the righteous and the wicked. But that end won't come until the world is evangelized. You know, let me give a simple illustration regarding World War II, right? The goal of the Allies was, we need to conquer the enemy. So think of when they went into a certain city or a certain country and they got rid of all the enemy. They wouldn't be thinking back in Washington, D.C., you know what, let's just keep sending troops there. We need to just make sure it's stronger. We need to make sure we put up some walls. Let's just camp out there. They'd be like, that's ridiculous. You already took it over. All the enemy's gone there. Forget about it. Let's move on to the front lines. Let's keep pushing the lines forward. I think of that in terms of the kingdom. The job of missions, the task of a world evangelization is not, let's keep starting churches or planting churches in one area or evangelizing one place, but it's to evangelize the world. And from Jesus' perspective, we're going to conquer the world. And He's going to save His people. And so I hope I can broaden your perspective about what missions is. That it's a global thing that Christ is doing. And it's not just one place. So in conclusion, if the gospel has transformed our thinking and our goals and our passions, our entire lives, that's what the gospel does, right? Since it's done that, if it's done that, then one of our main goals, our mission, your mission as a church, will be to get the gospel to all the peoples and places of this world. That's the mission of the church. That's the job Christ has given to his disciples. Are you his disciples? Consider this mission. Do you want to follow Christ as he advances his kingdom, saves his people, and eventually will destroy the wicked? There's only two sides. We need to consider directly participating in this work. You know, a lot of times, I'm sure this has been my experience growing up, probably similar for you as well. When a missionary comes, they preach about missions probably, and you think, oh, okay, you know, that's good. The missionary's here, and then they leave. And I hope that's not the case this morning, that as we do leave, you would think about evangelizing the world. What could your church do? Could your church send another man, a couple, to proclaim the gospel where it hasn't been? Think about that and pray about that as a church. As we think of what Christ has accomplished, isn't it worth it? You know, we think of our jobs, your investments, our clothes, our houses and things. We think about those things, and that's part of life. That's fine. But isn't the gospel worth it when we think of what Christ has done for us? How he saved our souls, how he's died as our substitute, how he's risen again from the dead so that we could be justified, so we could stand before God holy and righteous and blameless, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. How he was cursed so we don't have to be cursed. How he died so we could live. How he endured the eternal wrath of the Father so we could have eternal life in the new creation. Isn't he worthy to serve? And to say, you know what? We're going to go through some tough times, the scripture reading this morning. We're going to take some chances. We're going to take some risks. We're going to do whatever it has to take because Christ is worthy. Christ is worth it. He's done this for us. We're going to do this for him. We want his name to be known. We want his name to be honored. We want his name to be proclaimed. Not just in our church on Sunday mornings, but in that little jungle place in Brazil, or that desert village in the Middle East. And it'll be tough. You know, no missionary who does pioneer work say, oh, it's a piece of cake. It will be tough. I mean, that's life. And Christ is worth it. You know, think of what he went through to save us. If he said, you know what, Father, unless it's easy, I'm not going to do it. Christ didn't say that. Think of the agony he went through in the garden as he sweat drops of blood. How he overcome every temptation that Satan threw at him. Because he had a mission. He's like, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. If he did, you and I would all be in hell. But he didn't give up. And he did that for us. He did that to save us. And the Father sent him so that Christ's name would be glorified and known, not just among the Jews, not just among the Americans, but among all of his people. The goal of recruiting new missionaries is not about getting more members to a club or a social group or a large missionary organization. A lot of people think of it that way. That's not the goal of recruiting new missionaries. The goal is not doing a short-term global adventure trip. Now, people see it that way as well. That's not the goal. The goal is not seeing the world and becoming more well-rounded in geography and travel or becoming more multicultural. That's not the goal of getting new missionaries, though some people think it is, unfortunately. The goal of recruiting new missionaries is about the gospel being proclaimed to all the peoples of the world. We see what's at stake. We see the importance. That's why we recruit new missionaries. That's why new men and couples should be sent to proclaim this gospel where it hasn't been proclaimed. So that Jesus builds his full church and returns for his people. His full church isn't built yet. You haven't, to some perspective, brothers and sisters who aren't yet your brothers and sisters because no one's told them the gospel. People who belong to Christ but aren't saved yet because they haven't heard the gospel. Who's going to go tell them? Jesus said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. He's referring to people out there, his sheep, but they haven't been brought in yet. Who's going to bring them in? Maybe a couple here. Maybe it's a young couple. Maybe it's an old couple. I want to challenge you at your prayer meetings on Sunday, your families, Pray about this. Lord, would you raise up a couple in our midst to go out and proclaim the gospel where it hasn't been preached? Is Jesus and his gospel your one singular passion, as it was with the early church? You know, sometimes we separate ourselves so much from the early church, it's like, well, you know, we don't look like the biblical church anymore. Their one singular passion and goal was the gospel of Christ, and was to advance it, whatever the cost. And there was a great cost for a lot of those brothers and sisters of ours in the early church. So if that is your one singular passion, and I pray that it is, then as a church, pray through the Holy Spirit's leading to send one of your best couples to go proclaim the gospel in a new area in the world where it has still not been preached. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word that guides us and teaches us. We thank you, Father and Son, for sending your Spirit to be our teacher and to guide us into truth. And as we have seen in your word, Lord Jesus, you have told us as your people to advance your gospel and proclaim this message to all of the world. And so I ask you, Father, by your Spirit's power, that you would work in this church here as they pray, as they read your word, as your word is preached, as they consider the world being evangelized, that it would please you according to your will to raise up a man or a couple to go and be sent where the gospel has not yet been proclaimed, that all of your church would be brought in and your church would be complete. And we pray this in your name. Amen.